Blog Talk Radio.
Politicians are hoping to bite the other party's politicians and make them retreat from the field, as it were. But the expression dog days of August comes from the Romans, about the time of Caligula, who we'll get into later, the third Roman emperor. The Romans are very brutal towards animals. They killed whole species for their games in the Colosseum and the arena, when the lions weren't killing people, primarily Christians or people guilty of hate crimes. We'll get into that. The gladiators and spectators were killing animals. Whole species were wiped out. But the Romans thought that the cure for a dog bite was to burn the dog. And that's where we get the expression dog days of August, because August is very hot, was very hot in Rome and Italy, and people were probably getting bit. So the victim of the dog bite would burn the dog, and hopefully that would cure the dog bite. Of course, all it did was just you eliminated the dog, but didn't cure your dog bite. Focusing on Rome, the third emperor of Rome was Caligula. Caligula is the father of that, we believe, of the hate crime. He was crazy. He was a sexual deviant of the worst sort, extremely cruel. And the name Caligula means little boots. He was the son of Germanicus, part of the Julian family that took over Rome after the assassination of Julius Caesar and the ascendancy of Octavian, who became Augustus and reigned for 40 years. The series on BBC TV on the Roman emperors is very informative and it's very accurate history. And I recommend that. Among the other birthdays today, we had Dubose Hayward. He was a librettist for the famous George Gershwin American opera Porgy and Bess. Great actor. He was heterosexual. It was his own, notoriously so. He used to pat women or pinch their butts. Frederick March. And he was in One of the last movies he was in was 7 Days in May, which was a military attempted takeover of the United States, starring Kirk Douglas, Ava Gardner, and Burt Lancaster. Great movie. Arthur Godfrey, his birthday today. He served in the U.S. Navy in World War I. He was one of the early TV programs and a pioneer. We had Sir Bernard Lovell. You've heard of the great telescope in England. It's named after him, Lovell Bank. Doris Sherry, he was a film producer and director, and he's probably best known for Boys Town, which starred Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney, and that famous line, "He ain't too heavy, father, he's my brother." That was uttered by Mickey Rooney. The great Filipino president who was assassinated or died in a plane crash fighting the Hucks, who were the Filipino communists, and they're still around today, Ramon Magsaysay. And another great actor, Richard Basehart, which is his birthday today. And probably his most famous movie is Decision Before Dawn, which was about German POWs who returned to go back into Germany near the end of World War II and to spy for the Allies, and also illustrated how the Gestapo treated soldiers whom they considered deserters or who were unfaithful to the Third Reich and the Führer. And, of course, we have this problem here in the United States, where more and more American military personnel and National Guard, when they are federalized, they get into conflicts with local civil authority. Their rights are violated. We have 3 major cases. Not only Steve Neri out here in California, but the one in Colorado, Timothy Masters, and interesting, they're all 3 Navy cases also, and then the Norfolk 4 in Virginia. A lot of controversy and a lot of questions about how these sailors were taken off their ships or out of the jurisdiction of the Navy and abused for 15, 16 years. Steve Neri is still in prison. Tim Masters was exonerated, and the state of Colorado paid him mucho bucks, and the Norfolk 4, their case is still going on. We'll get into that some more because there's a lot of stuff that was covered up. Daniel Shore was born today, a CBS newscaster. He had an interesting New York voice. We had Dan Rather, who also worked for CBS and was most famous for the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, which I covered. And we'll get to LBJ and why he told Hubert Humphrey who he should pick as his vice presidential nominee. Very interesting. A curious way that LBJ dealt with racial equality. James Corburn, who was from Omaha, a famous actor with a gravelly Nebraska voice. Also, you had Henry Fonda from Omaha, Fred Astaire or Freddie Austerlitz from Omaha, and several other people, including former vice president under Bush from Omaha. We had Van Morrison, whose father, I think it was Van Morrison, or was that Jim Morrison? He was a rock actor anyway. And Richard Gere, who was one of the first to take off his clothes and have frontal nudity, was born in Philadelphia on this day. Among the deaths, the husband of Lady Godiva. Now remember, Lady Godiva did something for, she stripped off all her clothes and rode naked on a donkey back in the 10th century. And nobody was supposed to look. Guys were supposed to turn their backs. And she did this, I believe, for penance or to save the city. And her husband was Leo Frick, and he died on this date. John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, and later became a opera by Vaughan Williams. And then Rocky Marciano, who defeated Joe Louis. He was killed in a plane crash. Among the events today, back to the English, Henry VIII was excommunicated by Pope Paul II in 1535. The Naval Observatory Academy was authorized in 1842. That is the home of the U.S. Vice President. That's his residence. The earthquakes didn't only occur in California and on the West Coast and Alaska, but in 1886, the first known earthquake in the East occurred in Charleston, South Carolina. 1887, Edison patented the kaleidoscope, which was moving motion pictures. And then in 1907, this treaty agreement called the Triple Entente, England, Russia, and France got together, lined up against Germany and Austria, and that later led to World War I. And, of course, the Russians ended up destroying their monarchy, the Romanovs, and became a communist government and society. Talking about communists, in 1919, the Communist Labor Party was set up in all places such as Chicago. And, of course, Franklin Marshall Davis, who was the mentor of Mr. O, Barack Obama, and also was a homosexual, was from Chicago and later went to Hawaii. Now, there's a movie talking about corruption, political corruption, and longshoreman corruption and communist infiltration in Hawaii, and it's called Big Jane McLean, and stars John Wayne and also, I think, Arness, Richard Arness. 1954, the Census Bureau was set up. 1965, HUD, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, was set up. And in 1978, I remember this well, the kidnapping of Patricia Harris, William and Emily, I mean Patricia Hearst, excuse me, William and Emily Harris pled guilty and were convicted. Since this is a presidential nomination season, we've just ended the Republican convention. Now we're going to have the Democratic convention, and I don't know if the Democrats are paying attention to what LBJ told Humphrey, and at the end, why Humphrey didn't select this man. But here is what LBJ told Hubert Humphrey, Hubert Humphrey was LBJ's vice president, and he was tapped to be the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party in 1968. Here's what LBJ told him, who he should pick as his vice presidential running mate. Democrats have those problems again. Now we're going to go back, and for some reason it was a screw up, but we're going to try to find the brown face that LBJ recommended to Hubert Humphrey to select. Let me see if we can do this. I still haven't worked this system out, but let's try. Okay, here we go. Let's see. I'm sorry, we'll get it in a second. Let's see, LBJ, here we go. It's, I still haven't worked this system out for some reason, but let's try. Well, here we go, Blog Talk Radio. Let me see if we can get this here. Nope, it's not that. I hate this. Still haven't heard back from him. Here we go. Let's see. It should be here. No, that's not it. Damn it. Where's LBJ? But this is really important because it shows where LBJ was thinking of. Okay, here we go. LBJ suggested Daniel Inouye, and here we go. It's uploading right now. I'm sorry, people, but the system is so screwy. Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can get this done right now. LBJ. Here we go. This, I don't like this system, but what are we going to do? All right, here we go. No, that's not, That's not it. Now, this is the back end of that interview, why Hubert Humphrey would not follow LBJ's advice to select Daniel Inouye. I don't know why we keep having this problem. We'll try one more time, because it's really important what LBJ's thinking was. I don't know why. We'll try one more time. One more time. All right, here we go. Okay. Nope. Try one more time. All right. One more time. Otherwise, we'll have to play it Friday. Okay. All right, here it comes. We're going to try one more time. Let's see what happens here. All right, let's see if it comes up. I'm sorry, the delay. Still won't come up. I don't know why. I don't want LBJ going to the dogs. Yeah, he went there. No, we're still having a problem. Well, anyway, this one we'll substitute this one instead. Yes. Here are the other things now. One of the things that are important on this state, the one of the reasons we have so much corruption in our public programs is a lot of the money to fund these programs comes out of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, which was set up by LBJ in 1965, and his first nominee and appointment to that position was a black, Robert Weaver. And of course, there was one other black who held that position, Smiling Sam, in the Reagan administration, and Reagan didn't even know who he was. On this day, also, not on this day, but you hear a lot about the San Francisco Jets. And of course, it was George Christopher who preceded Horace Stoneham, who owned the New York Giants, and Stoneham wanted to move from New York to Los Angeles, but George Christopher flew out on weekends to New York and drank a lot of scotch with Stoneham, and finally persuaded Stoneham that he would build a stadium in San Francisco called Candlestick Park. And that's how the Giants were lured to San Francisco and became the San Francisco Giants. And we'll play that interview on another date and what we proposed to the Giants, what they should do for the Petaluma Little Leaguers to redeem the Giants' reputation, which has been sucked by all this drug-enhancing performance, these performance-enhancing drugs that Barry Bonds and others have been using. I'm really sorry about this. I don't know why we keep having this problem trying to upload stuff that I had already done. Anyway, so we will be back Monday, which will be Labor Day, and I'll play one more. What the heck? We have a little more time. And I think it's really important that we get LBJ's thinking on bringing more ethnics into the political process and nominating them for high public service positions. And it's interesting what LBJ said, and so we'll try one more time. I'm really surprised that we couldn't get this up. We'll try one more time. Let's see if we can do it. Well, let's see here. Let's see if this will open. Let's see. see if it's uploaded. Okay. Now let's see if we get this here. Try one more time to play this and see what happens here. LBJ goes to the dogs, but we can't get, for some reason, it will not go up. Oh, here we go. It's processing. This is where the problem is. I don't know what does this. Well, anyway, we will, let's see if this will play it. No, we already did that. For some reason, that's not working. Anyway, we will play one more clip, and then we will be back Monday. For some reason, I don't know why this doesn't work. And we are going to have an interview with a legal secretary to give you an insight to what really is going on in the legal industry. I call it that because a lot of people are nothing more than shysters and whores. That's the way they behave, and they prey on people who know little or nothing about the legal industry. They're more and more victims, and this is one of the reasons why lawyers get shot by very angry clients. You know, we've had a situation here in San Francisco at 101 downtown, 101 California, back in the 1900s. We did have a judge and a newsman, the Field case in the late 1800s, where they met on the street and shot at each other. One of them was killed. So anyway, let me play one more interview, and also LBJ goes to the dog. It's a fun one. So what the heck, LBJ. Oh, for God's sakes. Wait a minute. Oh, here we go. Oh, here we go. Let's see what this, what he says here.
I guess maybe it just takes a minute too far to say old conservative Humphrey.
Well, Humphrey, this is what Humphrey said to LBJ's suggestion that he appoint, he select as his vice presidential running an ethnic. And again, this is what Hubert Humphrey said.
I guess maybe it just takes a minute too far to say old conservative Humphrey.
Here's one of the liberals in Congress who's calling himself old conservative Humphrey, and the selection of a ethnic as vice presidential running mate would be far too fast. So it just shows you even the liberals become conservative when certain core values are questioned. And that certainly was one, putting a brown face on the Democratic ticket in 1968. So let's end with where is LBJ? Oh well. Well, this is something people ought to realize too about political power. It came from the movie with the script was written by Gore Vidal, and it's where this guy who was a retired president, who was kind of a Harry Truman depiction, and he's telling Henry Fonda, who's Secretary of State, who won the presidential nomination, about power.
Finished. Now, I am here to tell you this, that power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon, and the strong man takes it, and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you. And it never will be.
Now, the reference is that Joe Cantwell played a Joe McCarthy-type character, and he wanted the nomination. He had been in the Army and had a homosexual relationship and trying to cover it up, but he was also married. And this came out when the Henry Fonda people, the Secretary of State, gets in the background investigation of Joe Cantwell discovered this, and the voice we just heard was the addition of a Harry Truman type character, and he's saying, Henry Fonda, you've got to go into the convention and beat Joe Cantwell down. You've got to understand what power is all about. And of course, hopefully the Republicans will learn that they've got to use power if they're going to change this country around. They're going to get not only the nomination, they're going to win this election. So I remember 1968 because I shot a film in Chicago and then moved permanently out here to my mother's ancestors found the state of California. And didn't vote for Humphrey in 1968. I was very angry. I voted for Robert Anderson. And then next election when it was Nixon and Senator from South Dakota, I voted for him. I didn't vote for Jimmy Carter. Voted for Ronald Reagan. Gerald Ford, and I voted for Ronald Reagan. And I was an admirer of George Christopher, who sponsored the 1956 Republican convention here at Cal Poly. But anyway, and then I've done some exit polling for ABC, and where I saw machines going into polling place where the machines were prefigured. And I questioned that, and they told me, oh, we're going to correct it. This is how vote fraud gets started. We will have on Amicus Veritas YouTube site what the old voter registrations application looked like. It's very interesting, and we need to go back to that to stop some of this vote fraud that's going on with people who are coming to this country, not even U.S. citizens. And but the old voter registration form has something on it that we need to put on the current forms and the new forms. So we will. There'll be a comparison of what's the new form, what was the old form. Now this, the old form prevented a lot of vote fraud, especially among illegal aliens and even illegal immigrants, or even legal immigrants who were not U.S. citizens at the point when they voted. So we're going tonight with our usual politics and poker. I don't know if anybody's playing poker at the Republican convention. Let's see what happens with the Democrats next week.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
Good
boy.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where's the clown?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, better.
Politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrade.
Madam!
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll fold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're.
you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out, I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about...
Well, that's probably why Pawlenty didn't get it, because nobody knew how to spell his name. We'll be back Monday on Labor Day with, well, a special program then. This is Peter Paul Brizola. Night.